Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I've been inspired being here for the service, maybe a little on edge because this looks pretty big, but I am happy to be here. A few of the things that have had an effect on this topic or have led me to the topic for this morning is over the Christmas holidays, I was thinking about, and I've thought about it for years too, someone asks you about your ancestry and you're not quite sure, and you wish you knew, or you wish you had an answer. So over the Christmas holidays, Mom gave me there's two books that we have with family history in them, and so I've been looking at those, and a song as well. One day, as you're working, you can be listening to songs and you kind of zone out. But for some reason, one day, this song stuck with me. And so that's the song I'd like to look at this morning as well. As a boy of 9, Jacob Wagler sailed from France to Canada in 1848 with his family. They settled in Ontario. 2 generations later, in 1930, a man by the name of Moses Lichty married into the Wagler family. Their only child, Delmer Lichty, carried on the family name, passing it down to Dave Lichty, my dad, and down to me. So that's a brief history, family history. The last 3, Grandpa, Dad, and myself, are still alive today. The other 2 that I mentioned have gone to be with God. The title I have this morning is Torch of Faith. The definition, the Bible, examples we have who have gone before, and the passing of spiritual beliefs and values, our faith from one generation to another. The song is also titled Torch of Faith, and I want to read it. God has given us a heritage of faith, blessed us with the word of God passed down to us. The torch of faith is now yours and mine to hold high, standing for the truth and doing what is right. The torch was lit when the Spirit came. Those who felt its fire were never the same. Beaten and imprisoned, some laid down their lives, but always for the faith, the torch they held high. The torch will be passed when I am gone. Those who come behind me will have to carry on. Will the light be bright as when it came to me? Will my children hold it high so that others can see? And the chorus goes, torch of faithfulness, Spirit, shine, burn brightly upon us. Drive away the darkness, showing us the right. Torch of faithfulness, leading others to the Savior. Faithful long as I am able, holding forth the light. If you want to listen to it sometime, it's in it's in Men's Arrangement, Message of Hope. Sing it very well. The first example in the Bible I'd like to look at, you can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 to 8. Here we have the story of Moses and Joshua, or Moses to Joshua. I simply have it stated as the torch passed down from leader to leader. Deuteronomy chapter 31, the first 8 verses. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So the first thing in this portion I want to look at is Moses and his attitude of acceptance. You see, in the first, he's speaking to the people in the first two verses there, and he's saying, you know, I'm growing old. My strength is not what it used to be, and I'm no longer fit to lead you. And besides, God has said I cannot go into the promised land because of something I have done, and he accepted that. He knew God still had a plan for him. But he said, God has commanded that Joshua will take my place. This is what will happen, and go into this land. You don't have to fear. He lists off the things that God will do for them. And he said, you don't have to fear because God goes before you. And this is the reason that you will succeed. He will destroy these nations. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And at the end of the verses, he speaks directly to Joshua. He's passing on his desire, or he's telling Joshua, you know, just look to God. Remain faithful. God will take you through it. So you see him speaking directly to Joshua there in the last few verses. Next, you can turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. And here we have Elijah down to Elisha. A torch passed down from prophet to prophet. I'm not going to read the first eight verses, but in those first eight verses, so first of all, they come to Gilgal, and Elijah says unto Elisha, tarry here, and Elijah is going to go on. And then the third place is Bethel, and the last one is Jericho. And each time Elijah tells Elisha to tarry here, and he's going to go farther. But each time Elisha says this, and he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So we see Elisha wanting to spend as much time as possible with Elijah here. And at all three of those places, men challenge Elisha. Do you not know what's going to happen? And Elisha says, yeah, I know. Yea, I know. Hold your peace. So Elisha knows, but he cannot. He has made up his mind. He's going to follow Elijah to the end. And the same, all three times, same response. Now verses 9 to 14, we'll read those. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. Elijah. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. In verse 8 there, you see, they both knew that the end was near. And you see Elijah's heart. He asked Elisha if there's one more thing he can do for him. What would you like? What is one more thing I can do for you? And you see Elisha's request for a double portion of his spirit. And Elijah says, well, this isn't mine to give. This is God's. But whatever God wills, and God granted Elisha his request. and he had Elijah's mantle. And I believe this was a physical sign of what God had granted Elijah. I am with you, Elijah. And so here we have the torch passed down from servant to servant. The third one I like to look at is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You can turn there if you want. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And I have this one labeled as a torch passed down from minister to minister. So we have Paul to Timothy. Verse 1 to 6. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge and the quick and dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So we see Paul here in the same, different but the same situation as Moses and Elijah. His time is coming to a close, and he's passing down words from God, words of wisdom to Timothy. And I feel there's better men qualified to speak on these. I don't have much to say on these verses, but the advice from Paul on being a consistent leader and caring for the church here, having, you know, as he's getting close to the end, you see that in all three of these men. The heart for the generation coming behind them, the passing on while they were still able. I have a short story in the book, Charting a Course, I like to read as well. I am a Christian and will remain a Christian and obey only the commandments of Christ all the days of my life. The crowd stared in awe. What was this? How could this young man calmly respond like this to an angry king? The king's patience was gone, and he was obviously ready to use torture if the young man did not obey. Kings were not used to being trifled with, yet each time this young man was given a command that conflicted with his convictions, he responded in the same way. I am a Christian. The day had started out so nicely, the king wanted to give him a second chance. Pelagius was intelligent and handsome. He had a lot going for him, and the king assumed he could be persuaded to give up this faith in Jesus Christ. So the king called Pelagius in and promised him pleasure if he would just renounce his faith. Just imagine living right here in the royal court, said the king. If you are willing to renounce this Jesus Christ, you will have the best the kingdom has to offer. In fact, the king continued, I want you to imagine your greatest fantasy. Picture the greatest pleasure you can imagine, whatever it is, and it'll be yours if only you will renounce your Christianity. But Pelagius stood firm. He was willing to turn his back on the best his culture had to offer. The king, seeing that the promise of worldly wealth and pleasure was not enough to shake this man's faith in Christ, tried torture. Pelagius was suspended in the air for over 6 hours and cruelly tormented. His persecutors continued to offer him relief and freedom if he would only renounce his Lord. But Pelagius valiantly continued to affirm his faith in Jesus Christ. And it goes on, I'm not going to read that part, but how they eventually killed him. It was June 29, 925 AD, and Pelagius remained faithful unto the end. Pelagius was only 13 years old. He hadn't had many years to prepare for this final hour of testing, trial, and temptation. He wasn't a seasoned old saint who could draw from years of experience and memories of God's faithfulness, but history records that he had used his time wisely, reading the scriptures and focusing on the kingdom of God. That phrase in there, he remained faithful to the end. The only reason that story can be in the front of this book, the only reason that we can read these stories that involved the lives of Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy is because they remained faithful to the end. The next point I have is keeping the torch. 2 Timothy 4:7, these are the words of Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In order to pass something on, you have to have something to give. Paul said, I have fought the good fight and will be faithful to the end. Pelagius remained faithful to the end. Moses, in being faithful to the end, accepted the consequences of his sin. And that sin hitting the rock the second time, he struck it twice instead of speaking to it. But he knew, even though he had failed at times, God had a plan for him. Paul did a 180-degree turnaround when God called him to service, and that's why he could say what he did in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Your background doesn't matter. It'll have an effect on you, but it doesn't matter. It cannot save you. And there's two sides of this. I guess the side that would involve me. So the brief history at the start, those men, the first two I mentioned were faithful to the end. The last three, Grandpa, Dad, and myself, are still alive. And so the challenge continues on to be faithful to the end. Your background doesn't matter. Those men that came before, those men that have passed on the torch to younger generations, those men cannot save me. And likewise the other way. Maybe you're the first one in your family. Maybe your family doesn't. Nobody else professes to be a Christian, or nobody else has picked up the torch. Maybe you're the first one. And so in that sense, your background doesn't matter as well. You see, Paul, he turned his life around completely and served God. Each one has to make a choice and the step of faith sometime in their life. As we can see in these examples and feel in our heart after we've given our heart to God, it's something worth dying for and living for, dying for, and passing on. It must last all throughout life. It's a continual battle. I wrote down the title of a book, A Pursuit of God. It's a book by A.W. Tozer. I've read some of it, but didn't get as much read as I wanted to. But in there he talks about not letting the things of this world, or they tend to take priority, and to take more time to spend with God and to change our focus to make sure it's fully on God. There's struggles and temptations, hard places in life, and there's failure, but there's also victory in Jesus. So maybe in your life, like me, and by the grace of God, you're going to carry on the torch of faith. Maybe you feel the torch has slipped or fallen, and you have to pick it back up. Maybe you're the first in your family or family history to pick up the torch. There's a calling to each one. The next point I have is passing on the torch. I have a few verses. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that those hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So the effect you have on the generation to follow. Raising trustworthy and reliable people to carry on the faith. Not only your children, but all those around you, other young people, and anyone you come in contact with, regardless of age. Passing on our beliefs and values. As I was studying this, I also seen, I can't remember what the camp was called, but it was a youth camp. And there was a topic on their website. And these two phrases come from that. The first one, a multiple a mul- tie generational legacy, a chain reaction of faith. The second one, your life is a bridge between generations. And a bridge has two sides. The natives of America believed in passing things down from generation to generation and are an example of verbally passing things down. As they sat around their fires at night, the older men would tell stories, and these stories had multiple purposes. Some of them were tales of brave men to inspire the younger men. This was something to attain to. Some of them would have been legends, not all of them were true, but there was some true tales of brave men. Traditions and culture were passed down. Wisdom and history were passed down, and warnings to younger generations. So things around the campfire at night, things were passed down from the older to the younger. This provided identity for the young warriors. This was something to attain. This is who I am, and this is who I can become. And I believe we can apply this to our lives today as well. Passing down tradition and culture has a value and creates continuity. And we could take a big side trail on this one. It's a subject in its own. But I believe that those traditions and culture can be changed slowly or slightly over time if necessary and with the proper reasons. But this is not the most important, or this is not what matters. I am a Christian and will remain a Christian, a child of God. This is the most important, and this is our identity. I'd like to read a few more verses yet from Paul to Titus. So you can turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So here we have an opportunity or a responsibility or a place for every person. Starts out by talking about the older men. Older men, a visible walk with God, sound in faith, showing stability and consistency. Older women, living in a way that honors God, fulfill God's will for you where you are, a life of holiness, good examples in teaching the younger women. And the young women, lives of holiness, looking to the older. And young men, looking to the older men, showing a pattern of good habits and a seriousness in life. This doesn't mean not enjoying life, but one day we'll be at that older stage, and today we are laying the foundation for that. Embracing the responsibilities or the opportunity of will never stop coming your way. This will not always be easy. They will not always be easy, and they will put you out of your comfort zone at times. This is not a scare factor, but reality. Embrace them. They take the focus off self, and they give you something to live for or a vision, and they build character. And when I say that, I don't think that you absolutely jump to every responsibility sent your way, but through prayer and the leading of God, taking on the responsibilities that come your way. You know, as you go through life, the older ones could identify to this, the responsibilities never stop coming. And it's a part of life, and fulfilling the place that God has for you, one responsibility that God has used to change or to change and to shape me was teaching school. I don't know how you would say it, but teaching school changed me in a large way. But sometimes you have a crossroad where you have two choices or two responsibilities you can choose. At the time of when I agreed to or when I taught, I also had another responsibility that I could and tried to choose, and that was dating. And God knew I wasn't ready. And so even though I tried that over teaching school, God used teaching to shape and to mold my life, and it all turned out good in the end. I'd like to read the last few verses here in Titus 2. I'm not going to comment on them much, but verses 9 to 15. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I know these aren't new thoughts, but the picture there in verse 14, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, a people of God, and that is only possible through God. At some point in life, we did or we will have to do the 180-degree turn that Paul did, and there's times we fail, but taking responsibility and rising up again with purpose. Some of the messages and topics we've had in the last while have also been thinking about those two. God's vision for the church, there is more. Spiritual warfare and myth or reality. Having a vision, remembering we're in a battle. Spiritual complacency will lead to ruin. And that's something that I have struggled with in my life, is spiritual complacency. Carrying on the faith from one generation to another. A bridge has two sides. As the older generation down to the younger, there's two sides to the bridge, and it takes both sides trying and working together to build a bridge across that gap. What does this look like going forward in our lives? You know, this topic isn't because Darcy has all the answers or Darcy has it figured out. This is something that in my life, studying it, it helped me. And I know that there's, you can look back at your life, you can see the failures, you can see the areas where you lived in spiritual complacency. But through God, to continue on, to take up the course, and to live faithfully to the end. I was going to read that last verse of the song one more time. It's the part that's been going around in my head. The torch will be passed when I am gone. Those who come behind me will have to carry on. Will the light be bright as when it came to me? Will my children hold it high so that others can see? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your many blessings to us. And I thank you for the provisions you have given us in life. Thank you for the men and women who have gone before. And I pray that you be with each of us here. Bless each one. Whichever stage they are in life, Lord, wherever they are in life, I pray that we would continue to hold that torch high, that we would reach to those around us, and that one day we can say we have run the course, we have finished the course, and that you can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just pray this all in your name. Amen.